The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
Did it.
Yeah, we're going.
Just did it.
We're up and running.
Yeah,
cool, man. Just two guys sitting in the garage.
No preface.
I like it.
Back into town.
You're welcome back, dude.
Jumping back. Yeah, we didn't really warm up.
No. Like we normally do.
You know,
we go through our pre-show calisthenics.
Do our zip zap zops. We do our. Give me a suggestions.
How long you been gone, man? Well, it's been like 3 weeks.
Red leather, yellow leather. I did a show. Friday to Friday. I got back Friday and had just a real wonky weekend of jet lag recovery.
Yeah. How long a flight was that back?
14 hours.
Huh. Thought it'd be more because there's flat.
No. If it's flat, then you, well, then it should be shorter.
I got some misinformation. It was like, the quickest flight from New Zealand to New York is like 37 hours. So that right there tells you that they're having to go the long way.
What's the impetus for wanting to just be like, no, it's flat? Like, is it just, you know what it is? Is it like, is that you just need to be interesting?
Well, I can sympathize a little bit with the sense of, I want to know something that most people don't believe.
But why would, then say the moon's made out of cheese if you want to be a fucking idiot about it. That's totally cheese. How do you know it's not?
Prove me wrong.
Yeah, how do you know it's not? That's why I can't eat moon rocks, because they're regular rocks that people are telling you from the moon. You want to know what real moon rocks are? Cheese curds.
Everybody knows that.
That's why first meteor hit near Wisconsin. That's it. Cows are the real aliens.
Cows are the real aliens. Oh, man. Well, welcome back, dude. So,
thanks, man.
Tell me about Australia. Where all did you go?
I was in Melbourne, Sydney, and Brisbane.
Okay.
Met some fans of the podcast.
Oh, yeah,
nice
down
folks.
There.
Yeah, it was Cullen was another couple guys. Cullen was a fella. Met in Sydney. Nice dudes.
That's
real
cool.
Happy that you're out of the van.
Oh, yeah? Well, thanks.
You got global support that you're out of the van.
I'm international.
Don't fuck it up, Dave.
I'm trying
you're
not
gonna to. Disappoint. You're going to disappoint people around the or across the world if it's flat.
I'm trying not to, man. Although it is hard.
You got extra pressure riding on this relationship.
Especially like in the kitchen. I'm like, you're gonna use that knife to cut that? I'm just always second guessing. She's starting to get a little annoyed. But she's a great girl. Girl. I love her, but man.
You use that knife to cut that? I don't know. You're going to piss in this bucket in front of me? I really think she's got the upper hand here, Dave. I think you got to be careful about
it. She's awesome, but she sucks at everything food. She just sucks so bad. She's cutting apples on a wobbly plate with a rusty knife. She doesn't like mayonnaise.
That sounds rustic. That sounds like it's right up your alley.
She'll cut up an apple, and then she'll stab the apple with the knife, dip it in peanut butter, and then shove it in her mouth. I'm like,
ooh, like Crocodile Dundee.
You got to be careful flinging that knife around. What? I'm okay. Your ring in there.
Yeah, my phone.
She ate probably raw bacon. Not raw bacon. I mean, she cooked it. But she ate bacon that had been sitting in the fridge for six weeks.
Well, she's the healthy one.
She tried to cook a frozen pizza in the oven and left the cardboard attached to it. Just, there's a lot we got to deal with. A lot we're working on.
That's the thing. When you haven't lived in a structure, you haven't had to deal with a structure fire.
Yeah.
I've done. You want to know my bacon horror story? Remember talking about that? About how when I was visiting, my buddy had gotten into grad school in New York City. And I had gone out. I think I was like maybe 22. But still just a real idiot. And he's in grad school.
Uh-huh.
He's the one who should have known better.
Yeah.
And we're talking, and his wife at the time I was living, there's a studio apartment in New York. And we're talking about, like, man, I love bacon, but I don't like crispy bacon. I love that flippity floppity bacon. And he's like, me too, man. Like, the squishier, the better. I'm like, I love just rubbery ass bacon. And I'm like, and so he's like, let's eat rubbery ass bacon. And you saw him basically, he just let it touch the pan. Ooh. For a second, and you see his wife going, I don't think that's a good idea. I'm like, no, this is how bacon, this is how good bacon is. And then we just poisoned ourselves.
Yeah.
And then took a subway ride where we saw every stop of that subway because we had to get off the train and shit. Oh, wow. through all of Manhattan.
Oh, my God. Because
we gave ourselves food poisoning.
What a terrible place to get food poisoning.
I know, on a subway.
The worst place.
Underground. So every stop, like, neither one of us wanted to admit that, like, what we did. Like, you want to get off here? Yeah, God, let's get off here. And trying to find a place to shit in New York City.
Oh.
I found one place. I just sat in there for a while because I'm like, this, I might not find another bathroom nicer than this for the rest of my trip.
Oh, I've done that. Yeah, it's going to come back in a minute anyway, so I might as well stay put.
Let's ride it out. Yeah, let's stick around for the sequel.
So anyway, back to Australia. Explain to me, I don't know anything about Australia. What are these cities like? How would you compare Sydney to something I might know?
It's like clean America.
Okay. Interesting.
It's like clean America. Climate-wise is where their south is our north.
Uh-huh.
And also closer to the equator, more of the type of hillbillies. They call them bogans down there. Who is bloody bogans?
Bogans.
Bogans are their hillbilly types down there.
Okay.
And they're in the north, though. Uh-huh. It's the warm weather.
Huh.
I don't know. But Sydney, you know, we're at the opera house that you've seen on everything, the bay. Look into that whole body of water. They call it the bay.
Uh-huh.
Not a single piece of trash.
Really?
Not even like a water bottle accidentally dropped.
Huh.
I was amazed at that. Like, not seeing anything. Not even seeing, like, leaves or anything.
Really?
It was like somebody skimmed it like a nice pool. But the parks, everything, just... At least, I mean, I went to three cities. I didn't see the whole thing. I didn't see the outback. But the three cities, very clean. You know, Melbourne I've been to a few times. And people, like, Melbourne, like, I think drinking age is 18.
Really?
And I saw people getting, like, blasted. Like, I was at McDonald's. They call McDonald's Macca's.
Macca's?
Just have a Macca.
Okay.
And their dish, they're like bar food there, is Parmas. Chicken Parmesan. That's their bar food. Gotta go get a fucking Parma, mate.
Parma.
Mate, get yourself a bloody Parma.
So everybody's eating chicken Parmesan.
Yeah, just get Parma. Yeah, with different
Parm stuff. Parm sandwich or the straight up entree?
They take, I don't know what chicken breast they're using, but they pound it out the size of a manhole cover.
Uh huh.
And it's just cheese and ham on top of it.
Cheese
with
and
sauce.
Ham.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's good, but it's like somebody convinced me, not this time, but another pal. Well, shout out to Tommy and Carl from the Little Dum Dum Club. They have a podcast. And they brought me out, like, oh, get a bloody Parma, mate. And so I got a Parma right before my show and ate it, and I thought I was going to fucking die. I don't know how you could get one chicken breast that beaten out that wide.
Yeah, I mean, it must have been super thin.
Yeah, it was like when a cartoon character gets run over with a steamroller.
Loads of flavor.
So much flavor, mate.
What about culturally? Like, what's the people like down there? Like, what's the overall vibe?
Like, it seems positive.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's like...
Are they polite?
Polite, like in a good mood. It's less... It felt less bro-y. Like, you know, you walk into bars and you feel like, oh, everybody here just wants to get in a fight.
Yeah.
You know? And there it just seemed... I mean, it seemed rowdy. You know, you get the footy fans and everything. But even then, I was walking through a crowd of the footy fans after their Anzac Day, which is like their Memorial Day type thing.
It's okay.
Australia, New Zealand, Army Corps Day.
Huh.
And they were all leaving this big Australian Rules football tournament. I was going the other way because that's where the comedy club was. But it was like they were drunk, but it didn't seem like – maybe it's because I'm in a different place. But you like see a bunch of drunk dudes coming out of a sports stadium. And
yeah.
I instantly like – I'm like a fucking cat with his hair standing up like – All right, what am I going to have to deal with out of these fucking idiots?
Yeah,
like every time.
Huh.
Like especially trying to go to see shows at the Metro in Chicago, which was directly across the street from Wrigley Stadium and like Wrigley Field, Wrigley Stadium. God damn it. Mothman would be disappointed. But yeah, just seeing all these guys. But they're nice.
Yeah.
They get wasted drunk. McDonald's, I saw some guy take a header right into the fucking counter at McDonald's and his friends were like, oh, mate. And just picked him up.
any.
But then they just nobody goes to AA. They just drink their faces off for 10 years of their life, and then they become doctors.
Huh.
Yeah, there's no like, ooh, I'm an alcoholic. We're like, nah, I'm Australian. I fucking got drunk for 10 years, more drunk than anybody will ever get. And then I just became a member of society.
How about
they
that?
They can handle their liquor now.
I like that. That.
Yeah, I'll tell you that.
Have your fun and then move on.
Yeah, and then be part of the world.
Yeah.
A little more socio-politically conscious there, I think.
I feel
kind of self-centered as Americans.
Having not traveled internationally other than to Canada. But I just assume that everybody is more socially, politically conscious than us.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like you just see people, like, I don't know. I'll watch a documentary and you'll see British people or whomever, like, boy, they know more about American history than I do. And I live here.
Yeah. I mean, there's that part of it. But then it's not like China wasn't. China was like, just belch whatever smoke you can into the sky to create things and spit in the street and piss everywhere. So, not everywhere.
Huh.
I don't know. I just got it's good vibes down there.
Well, that's cool. And the shows were good?
Yeah, shows were all right.
Yeah, all right.
I was, you know what? Because it's festival comedy.
Yeah.
And it's people have like a 1 hour put together. Because that's how everybody else works. Like here in the States, you do stand up. And you're just trying to get an hour long a headlining set together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always changing, you know. A new bit comes in, so an old one goes out, mm-hmm. and it's always changing, and it's not necessarily themed. You have comedians that are about a certain thing, like mm-hmm. Gaffigan's about food, mm-hmm. you know, whoever's a, you know, Owen Benjamin for being a fuckface is all about his fake free speech warrior bullshit. Like, you have people that work on themes.
Yeah.
Or relationships or this and that. Whereas, like, you know, people that work Edinburgh and the Melbourne, like, they got to get an hour show every year.
Uh-huh.
Every year they have that one show that's an hour long the festival review. They love it if you start the shit with like, these are lessons that my father taught me. And then you do whatever bullshit you want in the middle. Uh-huh. But at the end, it's like writing a college paper.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have an introduction and then you fluff the fucking middle of it. But then in the conclusion, you restate the introduction and people think like, oh, he brought it all back together. Yeah. It's theater. Some people do it well. A lot of people do it shit. And it's just an excuse because they're just comedians, but yeah. Then you have to throw it together because the reviewers love that shit. And those reviews dictate the rest of the year how much you get to work.
Huh.
You know? So where here you're working to put out an album or a special, and that gets reviewed. Their one-person show at Edinburgh gets reviewed, and then they can like, well, I got 5 stars, so they get booked more.
Interesting.
Which I think is bullshit in the sense that you're going to come out and see somebody do a show one night.
Yeah.
And review it. Like, if you want to review a special of mine that I said, okay, this is the end of it. This is the final product.
Yeah.
Review that. But you want to come out, like, somebody came out. I got one review because it was the end of the festival, so they weren't really reviewing stuff anymore. And I was all over the place. I got in on a Sunday and had a TV taping Monday night and then my show Monday night. So uh-huh. I'm still a little out of it. I don't have an hour long. You know, I've been moving parts around since uh-huh. the Netflix thing came out and everything. And the guy, like, I got upset that the guy, like, he gave me 2.5 stars out of 5, which, all right. And, of course, everybody gets a bad review. You're going to have a problem with it.
Uh-huh.
So I won't be self-indulgent. But I was like, this is unjust. But then it was like he's taking shots at my whole career.
Really?
It's like, who's this fucker? Like, he's just doing the, you know, the pedestrian observational material he's known for. I'm like, who? Listen, man, I'm not trying to fucking honk my own horn here.
But you are like, anything but pedestrian.
But I was like, oh, man, now you're going after my whole career. So, of course, I Google this dude's name. And what was his name? Jim Scheibel or something. Some fucking cunt that I look up his name. And the first 3 reviews are him like, oh, like, really? You're telling a woman how feminism works in her own show?
Oh, wow.
So, like, made mother raises comment. And then at the bottom of the first page is about how this dude, if you criticize him on Twitter, he'll call your employer and try to get you fired.
Wow.
So the fact that like the bad review was from this known twat.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. You're not respected.
Yeah.
You're a guy who's reviewing. And then like, people that review comedy, that's the thing. Like you get a good review and you're like, finally, somebody understands me. But if you get a bad review, you're like, they don't get it. It's either all or nothing.
Yeah.
Why are you like, comedy is such a dumb thing to review.
It is.
And the fact that these festivals, people get so obsessed, performers get obsessed about it, because then you hand out stars and it dictates their career.
Huh.
And you don't know. You can't go there the same night the reviewer went there to see how the show went on that night.
Yeah.
But a special, you can watch the same thing and go like, oh, you were wrong because I'm watching the same thing you watched.
True.
All this Michelle Wolf shit that's going on after the White House Correspondents' Dinner that, oh, the, she was mean to, she was making, talking about her appearance about Sarah Sanders, which she wasn't at all. Like, it wasn't insults at her appearance at all. And we all get to watch that and go like, no, your head's up your ass because she told the media you made Trump too. So now the media is like, oh, oh, well, then we won't stick up for her. All your First Amendment fucking warriors are like, no, she was mean to Sarah Huckabee Sanders. No, you fucking chicken shits. It's the same reason you were like now, like, just look at how they're responding to it because she came after them and exposed them for what they're
doing.
Oh, that was pissing me off.
Well, and imagine a comedian making political jokes. Like, how dare she?
That you hired to roast you.
Yeah.
And then she did. You know what it is? People aren't used to seeing a, like, Republicans aren't used to seeing somebody do a good job. But it's not even that. It's also against the media. The fact that, like, even they were like, oh, let's just take this stance that'll sell fucking papers or get clicks. Is that, ooh, she was talking about physical appearance, and she wasn't at all. And if you had any fucking balls or were worth your salt as a anybody, a journalist or worked in literature, you could see that and know that that's not what she was joking about.
Mm-hmm.
And watch the whole speech. There's all kinds of crazy shit. I've only seen the bits and pieces of it all lumped together. I haven't even sat and watched through it all linearly.
Yeah.
But, man. Anyway. So, okay, there's my rant. Anyway, I saw a kangaroo. I got to pet a dingo.
What?
Yeah, pet a dingo. They're just pretty dogs.
Yeah.
They look like Shiba Inus.
Huh.
They look like homeless Shiba Inus.
I don't know what that is.
It's a pretty orange and white dog.
Okay, yeah. You could deduce.
It's not like a coyote, like... yeah.
Okay.
Which somebody sent us on the Facebook that a cop fought a coyote to get it off eating a kid.
Hell yeah, he did.
So you got beat to the punch
about
beating up coyotes.
There's more coyotes out there.
I mean, you know, at least with, you know, what's been depicted by them in the media, and by that I mean cartoons, they're not smart animals.
No. No, they're dumb.
I've not seen one of them with a rocket and roller skates.
Oh, goodness. What was I about to ask you? Oh, shit. I don't know.
I went off. You got me going off on things.
Oh, in what context did you pet a dingo?
Went to an animal sanctuary.
Oh, okay. Is that also where you saw the kangaroo?
People call zoos to make them feel better about going to zoos.
Okay.
Yeah, and the kangaroos were just loose.
Really?
Kangaroos, you just like, there's a walking path, and then there's kangaroos. Which I'm convinced, up close kangaroo, that's absolutely what people thought Dogman was.
Really?
Yeah. They're built, their upper bodies are like a dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Muscly.
Yeah, they got the same delts and biceps.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The shoulders and the arms.
Yeah.
That looks like a guy.
Hmm. They got kind of a horse face, dog face,
horse dog face on top.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I'm convinced, like, at least some of the sightings could be like an errant kangaroo.
Hmm. Errant kangaroo.
Yeah. People are eating a lot of kangaroo out there.
Oh, really?
I didn't eat a roux burger. People say they're supposed to be good.
Wonder what kangaroo tastes like.
You know, say it's supposed to be good.
Hmm.
I don't know. I didn't.
Did you eat anything else interesting other than the big parma?
I didn't even have a parma this time. No, I ate a lot of Maccas.
Maccas.
I was like right on the way home. Every night I was eating McDonald's. I was like, oh, I'm on vacation. What a dumb way. I'm on vacation. So try local cuisine? No, I'm going to eat your weird fucking non-hormone burgers.
That's what we did in Montreal that time. We ate McDonald's every night.
Yeah, yeah. I was talking to Rachel. That was our anniversary of our meet.
Yeah.
We're going to have our 10-year anniversary at that Montreal McDonald's.
What did the McDonald's menu look like? Was there any variations?
They didn't have anything too wacky. They were like, you got to try this Wagyu beef burger. I'm like, oh, Wagyu beef? That's supposed to be like the best kind of beef. I'm sure McDonald's will treat it with reverence and respect. It just tasted weird.
Huh.
When you realize what you like about McDonald's is the crap that they're giving
you,
and then they try to do something different, you're like, nah, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, don't do that.
No, I ate Malaysian food while I was there. I like Malaysian food a whole bunch.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What's an example of a Malaysian dish?
It's like a weird... It was like sausage, but it had a flaky crust around it. I don't know. We just got all kinds of different appetizers and stuff.
Nice.
But then when I was in Malaysia, too, all the stuff I was eating there. Buddy, Malaysian food. We got to get into it.
Okay. I'm down with that. I've been eating a lot of sausage lately.
Sausage?
Yeah.
Making just, it at home? Going out?
No, just I bought a big old pack of sausage.
What kinds?
Just the Lynx. The little Farmer John Lynx.
Little breakfast buddies?
Yeah, little breakfast buddies. Love the breakfast. Throw a few of those in there, some scrambled eggs. I'm a happy boy.
I'm Farmer John's.
Yeah.
That was the one Bukowski poem before he realized Bukowski was a horrible human being. Everybody wants to, like, every, you know, every sports guy. How can these sports guys still be that beat up their wives? And then
yeah.
tell that to every fucking hipster with their well-worn copy of Ham on Rye. Like, oh, my favorite piece of his is where he kicked his girlfriend during a videoed interview.
Yeah, I saw that.
Fucking hypocrites.
What, he had a poem about Farmer John's sausage? Like
saw a billboard said Farmer John smokes his own sausage. Now there's one tough son of a bitch. And that was the whole page. But I like that that was like... Wait, it's the same reason that Fight Club's the best movie you've ever seen when you're in your early 20s or late teens and it came out and you're like, this speaks to me.
I didn't get it the first time.
It took a while.
I had no idea.
And that's why I was like, that's why I'm like, oh, at the end you didn't even realize
it? I was like, wait, what? Like, I had to watch it three times
that's
to
why.
Pick
every
up on it.
Pothead 20-year-old was like, man, it's like so intellectual. You got to watch it a few times just to see what's going on. And then I really almost broke my shoulder patting myself on the back. So I'm like, I'm going to read the book. I'm going to see how they do this in the literature.
I was too preoccupied with Meatloaf's tits.
Yeah.
It's disturbing.
I was like, well, Meatloaf. You forget, he was more of a theatrical guy than a metal guy.
Yeah.
He thinks he was like this metal dude.
Yeah.
No, he was a theater guy.
Yeah.
He was in
Rocky Horror. Rocky Horror. Yeah. The guy with the motorcycle.
The guy named Meatloaf.
He was also the dad in the Tenacious D movie, The Pick of Destiny.
Ooh, I never saw that.
He's Jack Black's disapproving father.
He's popped up places.
Yeah.
The Loaf.
Yeah.
I told you my Meatloaf, my tangential Meatloaf story.
I don't think so. Did you?
Christmas, it was at an airport bar when I was getting drunk. And then you realize everybody else in the airport bar, like, oh, yeah, it's Christmas night, and we're all flying away from our families. I'm like, ah, we'll buy a round. And somebody else will buy a round. I talked to some guy who was, like, clearly, like, used to do a lot of speed. You know, like the foot that never stops, the jackrabbit foot. Like,
yeah.
Even though you're not on meth now, it's still in your body forever. Yeah. Let me meet, like, old speed heads. Like, even if they don't do speed anymore, they still operate at a rhythm.
Hmm.
But it turned out he was a roadie for Meatloaf. And he kept calling him Loaf. Now, Loaf, he loves touring South America, man. And he said like something. He's like, yeah, man, fucking Europe. Loaf is crushing it. South America, Loaf crushing it. North America, though. I can't get the love. And I was like, two out of three ain't bad. And he did not enjoy that joke.
Oh, come on.
I know. I really thought I had one there.
Well-placed joke.
Never even heard the song. I just know it's the name of a song. And I'm like, now I'm looking back. I'm like, I wonder if I got it right.
Never got into Meatloaf. Like, I guess I appreciate what he did. I didn't have any disdain for him.
Have you heard Bat Out of Hell?
I have. I've heard all that.
Bat Out of Hell is a fucking...
It's good for what it is.
Kicker of a tune.
But it's just, I don't know. It's just something. It's just a little to the left where it's not hitting
it's
my target.
Operatic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little too much drama club for me.
I was just going to say the thespian group.
Yeah. Too thespian, which is fine. You know, hey, you guys eat that shit up. I definitely I can acknowledge how people would like that as opposed to other stuff I don't like, but
he's like fast food David Bowie.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. You can express yourself to Meatloaf, but it's okay if you got mustard on your shirt at the same time.
Like, God, that's perfect. Oh, that's funny.
Well, so yeah, Australia was fun. The jet lag, I got back Friday morning, and then kind of took a nap, and then I played Far Cry.
What's that?
That game I was playing when you came over before.
The race car game?
No. Oh. This is like it's a first-person shooter game.
Yeah, that one looked real as hell.
Yeah,
when
man.
You're sniping people off of the roof. Yeah.
And I'm not a video game guy, but I played that from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. on Friday.
No.
Like, what you hear about kids dying from dehydration playing video games? Like, oh, I fucking got it now. I got it. I will not mock that. This thing is engrossing.
You really sat there for 12 hours and played a video game?
I straight up did.
Wow.
I straight up played it. Rachel went to bed, and then I played it for – I'm like, it's like, all right, we're hanging out. I'm like, I'm back home. You know, I'm excited to be back home. So we hung out and had a little food. And then she's like, I'm going to bed. I'm like, all right, I'm going to stay up, you know, settle back in. I'm not quite tired yet. And it was like 2:30. I'm like, oh man, what are you doing? 2:30. Buddy, get in that bed now. I just, I'm going to finish this mission. Man, it's like 4 o'clock. What are you doing? The sun's coming up, buddy. Well, if the sun's up, you don't even know what time. And then Rachel was up. She's like, you're still doing this? I'm like, I can't help myself. It was like 11 o'clock. I'm like, you need to walk away from this.
Wow, dude.
And then I got, yeah, and then I stepped away for a minute then, stayed up, got some Indian food, tried to go to bed at a reasonable hour.
What'd you get?
God, I'm trying to get back to my vegetables now that it's going off the rails in Australia.
Get some of that bindi bhaji.
I got bindi some masala. Mushroom and peas thing.
Okay.
And then some, what's the, korma. What's like the rice balls, rice and cheese balls?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think that's
good. I don't know. It was real good. In our Kali restaurant over on Melrose, if you're in town.
Right on.
And then Sunday, went and saw Smoking Popes and got shit hammered.
Oh, yeah?
Like I was telling you, like we both know how to drink.
Oh, yeah.
I did some real amateur shit.
What'd you do?
Well, it was like 8 o'clock at night and I'm leaving. I'm like, well, but I'm all goofy because of this. Like I was drinking like a 17-year-old is trying to have the time of his life. I'm like, first off, I'll have this cup of coffee with a bunch of rum in it.
Huh.
I'll drink rum and coffee to get going. And then I'll drink a beer in the car on the way out there. I wasn't driving. I was in a Lyft. And then I got there and then drank more beers. And then we should do shots of whiskey. And before I know, I'm like, I was just wobbling all over, like fucking wobble drunk.
Huh.
Cried at the show.
Really?
Not like cry, but teared up.
Wow.
Smoking Popes get me.
Yeah?
They're a great band.
Are they? You go way back with them from your youth?
Them. I've been seeing them since I was 16 years old.
Wow.
So I guess you could say so because that would be 25 years of
it. Jeez.
And it's weird because now I know something, but I feel bad. The singer's born again Christian. That was a big thing.
Really?
He went, I think he had a big freak out, party freak out, and like was like one of those, like, if I'm dying, if I don't die, you could have the rest, you could have my soul. And he didn't die. And I don't know if he went to the hospital or what, like overdose type thing.
Wow.
But he's not loud about it.
Uh-huh.
You just know that that's one component of the band. It's three brothers.
Okay.
And then a fourth, their original drummer was back. And a band called Bad Cop, Bad Cop opened. So nobody knows Bad Cop, Bad Cop. They were great. Like, they're on Fat Records.
Oops. Where's Smokin' Popes from? Where they get their start?
They're from the suburbs of Chicago, baby.
Okay.
Yeah. And, man, I came home just shit housed. Real mess.
Yeah.
And then tried to ride my bike yesterday. Almost barfed going up the hill.
Mm.
I mean, not a fun story.
Yeah.
But that, yeah, this jet, I don't know if I'm jet lagged or not. Or if I'm just, I can't blame that on it. I can blame it on not drinking like a 41-year-old adult.
How many hours ahead of LA time were you in Australia?
I don't know. When I left on a Friday... I left on a Friday night and got there on a Sunday morning. And then when I came back, I left on a Friday morning and got back earlier on a Friday morning.
Wow.
Like, I technically left at like 11 a.m. Friday and got home at 6 a.m. Friday.
Okay.
And I don't have the mental capacity to understand the math.
How long was the flight?
14 hours.
Okay.
It was a little shorter coming home because I was in Brisbane. Slightly closer.
Probably 11, 12 hours ahead.
Yeah, I just watched a bunch of movies. Ate a bunch of pot candies that were bunk.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I've had some of those lately.
The hard candies, they don't work. 10 milligrams each, I had a fistful of them.
Yeah.
Had a whole row to myself, so I was sleeping like a real weirdo.
Nice.
Realized I was putting my face in the same seat I just beefed into for the first 4 hours of the trip. And I'm going to jam my face in it. I got some sort of sick fetish.
Oh, man. I've made that mistake.
Yeah, we live in our own filth.
You know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, Kyle? Well, welcome back, buddy. It's good to...
Thanks, man.
Good to have you back stateside.
Thanks. Anything thrilling in the 2 weeks?
Not really.
Yeah?
No, just adapting to life indoors.
Yeah, just domesticating yourself.
Yeah, trying to pee in the toilet more.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Put that seat up, buddy.
Yeah, I'm taking regular showers now, so that's good.
Wipe off the bowl when you're done. Wipe off the dribbles.
Yeah. No, I'm good. I'm tidy. I'm tidy. But no, things are good, man. Nothing Nothing too terribly exciting. I wish I had some interesting stuff to report, but I feel like I'm overlooking something. I don't know.
Man, happiness doesn't need to be exciting.
Double stacks a dollar right now, so that's good times.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, one of the best value burgers on the market. $1.
I was using that excuse to eat a lot. They don't call it Burger King in Australia. They call it Happy Jacks.
Happy Jacks.
Because apparently there's one guy with a burger place. No, it's Hungry Jacks. That's why I fucked it up last time. One guy down there has a burger place called Burger King.
Huh.
And then the entire global-wide corporation of Burger King tried to come in. He's like, fucking no.
Wow.
Call it something else.
Good for him.
Like, all right, same logo, same graphic design, but it's called Hungry Jack's.
Huh. The same thing happened.
Same menu items, too.
Obviously, we've talked about my love for the chain of Waffle House, but every now and then you'll see – well, there's Huddle House, but I have seen Waffle House that is not the Waffle House. Like some mom and pop, and it just says the Waffle House, different font, different everything.
Yeah, something tells me that the legal team behind the original Waffle House isn't like, like, listen, even the most expensive, smothered, covered, and finger fucked hash browns we have, we're not turning over a huge profit. We don't really have the best lawyers to go after a patent lawsuit right now.
Oh, God. Finger fucked.
I don't know. What is it? Smothered, covered, and druthered?
Scattered, smothered, and covered.
Scattered.
Scattered on the grill, smothered in onions, covered with cheese.
We drop it on the floor in front of you right before we get to your table.
Sometimes if I'm feeling fancy, I'll do scattered, smothered, covered, chunked.
Get the fuck out of here.
Ham. Oh, yeah. There's scattered.
Chunked?
Scattered, smothered, covered, chunked. There's diced. There's topped. Diced with tomatoes. Topped with gravy. There's like 11 variations you can do. So, yeah.
I'm surprised you just made me hungry for Waffle House.
Oh, Waffle House is the shit, dude. It's so good. Oh, speaking of waffles, you know what I had the other day that I haven't had in years?
To waffles?
I had some waffles.
You really don't know how to set up a mystery too well, do you?
Oh, you never. Speaking of waffles, you're never gonna guess what I had.
Let me try. Was it waffles day?
I bought a box of fucking. See, now that I have access to a fridge and a freezer,
oh yeah, man.
And a stove. Oh, it's just opening up so many doors for me. But
yeah, just some straight up Eggo frozen waffles.
Dude, got some Eggo frozen waffles, and man, I made the other night. The lady will late at night will watch a movie, and she's a lightweight. She'll take one gummy, and 10 minutes later, she's just sawing logs, just out.
Well, but, she's also running 40 miles a day.
Yeah, she's insane.
Also trains like a super soldier all day.
She's a Navy SEAL, but I've picked up on her habits. Like at 11 o'clock, she'll pass out for like an hour, and then she'll get her second win around midnight, and then some, you know, depending on how I'm feeling, oh, let's watch a late night movie, or you know. So I made a late night snack of buttermilk Eggo waffles and Farmer John sausages, just like a big like community plate, like one for the table.
Yeah,
get just a plate of waffles and sausage.
Take however many bites you need. No pressure.
Yeah, but yeah, I had and some real Canadian maple syrup. Oh boy! So I had like a big old stack of waffles, about 8 or 10 of those sausage links, some syrup, just a big platter, big party platter. There's just two of us.
You ever thought about making some? Like a hillbilly Monte Cristo,
ooh,
with waffles instead of French toast.
Okay,
just deli meat, turkey and ham in it. Because what it's turkey, ham, and Swiss cheese.
I think so. Yeah.
And like I love a Monte Cristo.
Uh huh.
We've discussed.
Yeah.
Because it's like a breakfast, but you can get it because it's a sandwich.
Yeah.
But you have to use a fork and knife, like a classy son of a bitch.
I am always up for using waffles as the base of a sandwich.
That whole trend of doing donuts for Sam, but waffle, ooh.
Waffle's much more conducive to that.
But I'm thinking about, unless you put syrup, waffle's not sweet.
No, no. It's where the syrup comes in.
So maybe that's, but you put the syrup inside of it. I haven't eaten yet, so I'm really excited for everything.
Oh, man. Well, should we get into our topic today?
Let's give it, it's only been a half hour.
Yeah. Well,
of us fucking off.
Hey, we haven't seen each other in a while. We got a lot of fucking off to catch up on.
We got chit chat about what's going on.
Got to catch up on our fuck offs.
Yeah. I think that show, the Seattle show, is going to be sold out. So if you didn't get tickets and you slept on your boy, slept on your boys.
That's right. That's going to be fun. That's next week.
Plenty of tickets left for Tacoma or Spokane.
Oh, yeah?
What the fuck, Spokane?
Yeah, come on, Spokane.
Thought we were cool, man.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I wanted to talk about this, and you've got a little bit of a connection to this.
Yeah.
Whether you know it or not. I'm pretending you don't know what I'm about to talk about.
Ooh, what are we going to talk about?
I wanted to do this a couple weeks ago, but we didn't get around to it. Been looking into this Eastern Airlines flight of Flight 401. Mm-hmm. And your dad was a mechanic?
My pops was a mechanic for Eastern Airlines for a very long time.
Yeah, career guy? Put in the whole...
Yeah, career guy until the CEO fucked the whole company up. And dad, after 22 years of working there, was laid off with no pension.
Really?
So, yeah, just good corporate greed.
Jeez.
Corporate greed.
Well, I'm glad that they went under. When'd they go under? Early 90s? I remember as a kid, Eastern Airlines was big.
Ooh, that went down, late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
And then my dad was almost like a bad luck charm for all these airlines because then he went to, where'd he go? TWA. All these airlines that were going under, he would get hired and then the airline would go under.
Oh, man.
I'm like, man, Dad, maybe you got like a black cloud over you with these things.
Man, I always thought.
It was a rough go for the old man for a while there.
I feel like everybody talks about like air traffic controller and pilot and all that as far as being stressful jobs. Mm-hmm. Airplane mechanic, stressful job in the sense that you don't cross a T or dot an I and people could die.
I mean, the stories my dad really liked his job. And it sounded like a real crew of misfits. Maybe I shouldn't give that away that they weren't all taking their job so serious all the time. But it was weird. Like, as a kid, people won't remember that, pre-9/11, how much airports were just fucking skip right through.
Yeah.
And when we were – because my dad worked there, and so, we weren't – my dad was an airline mechanic. It wasn't – he wasn't – we weren't rich, but we got to travel because of the flight benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody in the – industry,
you know,
travel agents and shit like that. So we would still get to take all these cool vacations. And we would get to the airport. My dad would park where he parks for work, and we'd get in one of the vans and just drive across the tarmac underneath the airplanes.
That's awesome.
Right to the gate and just pop right on.
Dude.
Throw your bags on there. Here we go. I still have, smells tied to memory very well. So jet fuel is a surprisingly nostalgic smell. Like the smell by the airport is a very nostalgic smell for me.
Huh.
But yeah, just skipping through the airport.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I always had a lot of respect for airline mechanics, just because. First of all, I mean, I'm not mechanically inclined. I can do the most obvious stuff as far as fixing my van, mm-hmm. but anything beyond real basic shit, I don't know. But just to take that concept and apply it to a goddamn giant airplane.
Yeah, but I mean, it's also you got to think that. You wait for your car to break down to fix something mm-hmm. that would cause it to break down. Where, as an aircraft, that's a maintenance. Like you go over that thing
every day.
Every time it comes in, you have a checklist that you go over.
That makes
sense. So that maintenance stuff, that's upkeep, and you're constantly monitoring. If it's an airline, something dire consequences if you don't check over something. But you also forget a lot of the other stuff is one of the seats are loose.
Mm-hmm.
You think about all this little shit. The reason a plane will get grounded. Fuck, what happened that they can't have a plane? Toilet wasn't flushing the right way. All these other things that could still go wrong on an airplane that will cause an airplane to be grounded. But I don't know. My dad worked midnights and he always had fun stories about goofing off with his pals.
Yeah.
That's not the most professional thing to say. But he liked doing it. He was always a tinkerer.
Well, that's cool, man. Well, I want to tell you about this story. Mm-hmm. December 29th, 1972, Eastern Airlines Flight 401 departed from JFK Airport up in New York. It's en route to Miami. When a few hours later, somewhere over the Florida Everglades, it crashed, mm-hmm. killed 101 people, including pilot Bob Loft, co-pilot Burt Stockstill, and flight engineer Don Repo. And they say the cause of the crash stemmed from the autopilot device mm-hmm. being inadvertently activated while the crew was preoccupied with a faulty landing gear light. So they're worried about this light. They didn't realize that the autopilot was steadily making the plane decrease in altitude. And by the time they figured out the mistake, it was too low, and they crashed. And this is what's weird, talking about like checklist and parts and mechanics and stuff. After the investigation, 101 people died. Several people survived. So,
yeah.
But after the investigation, they took a lot of the salvageable parts and repurposed them onto other Eastern Airline planes.
That's what my dad says. Like, yeah, you can't do that now. I'm like, good.
That just seems so...
I guess you go to the junkyard, you get stuff you need out of a crash car. You know?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it just seems weird. Like, you would just think in the interest of perfection and safety that we're going
to... Depends on how hard it crashes. My dad explained to me that, it was Don Repo. He's like, which I never knew. He's like the flight engineer is basically the third pilot.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you ever see like a cockpit and there's a guy sitting sideways in the back facing like a panel. He's not flying the plane.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the only reason I know that position is from the movie Airplane. That's the only times where you see the one guy in the back and they're all doing the Roger, Roger. Check.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know that from that. So he was saying that. And my dad didn't say he was like below the shit, not the galley, but he was underneath the plane inspecting that light when he should have been up there monitoring things because of that faulty light. So he was going to see. He's like, they should never be down below. And he was down below wherever because something was going wrong. And I think that was like maybe that's why he wasn't monitoring at his station, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's scary. Well, so the plane crashes. 101 people die. I think something like 76 people survived.
Yeah.
But all three of the pilots / flight engineers died. And so they salvaged some of these parts. They repurposed them. And then in the following weeks, months, and years, there was approximately 20 different sightings of the ghosts of these guys, of Bob Loft, Bert Stockstill, and Don Repo, on planes that had the repurposed parts.
Okay.
So we've touched on this in the past about like ghosts, like, you know, if someone dies in this garage, okay, maybe at some point this garage will be haunted, but like where does it end? Like could the neighbor's house be haunted?
What's the energy attached
to? Yeah, yeah. What's it attached to? Why is it caused, you know, why is it relegated to this specific location?
Imagine you get haunted because somebody died in your neighbor's house. Like, motherfucker, this is why I pay property taxes.
Yeah.
I'm cutting my grass just because you're not cutting your grass. Now I got to deal with rats from your house.
Yeah. Well, it's like where I live now. I told you the story about Katie has seen she's seen a ghost. Oh, man, there's been some weird little stuff going
on. Got some vibes?
Yeah, we'll get into that in a little bit. But
did you break out this ghost hunting equipment?
Not yet. Oh, yeah, she did. She did.
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't know how it works. By the way, thanks to – I don't have his name written down. But the guy who sent us a bunch of ghost hunting equipment. I'll get your name and shout out you. But she started tinkering with it the other day. And I don't know if – neither one of us really knew what we were doing.
Yeah.
But she claims, we're getting something. This light means something. And it's lighting up. So my point being with that, though, is our apartment is right in between a hospice and a nursing home.
Yeah.
And she has seen – she saw a ghost one time. But it's like, okay, so are these ghosts from one of those other – the hospice or the nursing home? And then why are they
– you're just in an area.
Just because I'm the neighbor? Like, I don't know. But anyway, these 20 different sightings on planes that had these – repurposed parts. I'll give you a few of them here. Flight 318, flight attendant was in the galley when she saw a reflection in a metal cabinet. She told the flight engineer to come take a look. He also saw the reflection, identified it as, oh shit, that's Bob Loft. I know that guy. Loft's ghost even warned the flight engineer of the soon-to-be fire in the plane. Later on in the same flight, one of the engines caught fire and the plane was forced to make an emergency landing. So the flight attendant sees this weird reflection, calls her flight engineer, and he's like automatically like, oh shit, that's Bob.
Because my dad would say like the story that he knows about is that – that's right when my dad was was working there. Because when he got fired, 90? Yeah, because it was after Vietnam and he went to work there. So he was right. I mean, it was the fact – it was the Don Repo's ghost, the story here that he – would be able to protect all L-10 11s, because that was the type of airplane that crashed, that he would never allow another L-1011 to crash. And my dad's like, that type of aircraft never crashed again for as long as those planes were in service. And his thing was like, I've never seen anything, but he's like, I know people that do. He's like, you're on there. Like anything, if you go into anywhere when it's not in service, like an airplane, like I remember being like, again, like little kids, like we were in Cub Scouts. And so for some, you know, employment day, my dad got everybody. We got to go just, again, that's how the airports were.
Uh-huh.
We got to just go to the airport and hang out on an airplane.
Yeah.
Like, dick around in the cockpit, press buttons. I mean, they had people in there, but, like, just an airplane that was at a gate. And uh-huh. The whole Cub Scout troop just got to run up and down this empty airplane.
That's so cool.
But when you see it, like, even if you've been in, like, when you're in a bar when it's not open, and you realize how dark and dusty and shitty everything is without the fun lights on and the energy of people in it.
Yeah.
How creepy it can be.
Yeah.
And he's saying, he's like, yeah, you're in an airplane. You're in a galley. I guess that's the galley under.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, yeah, I know people. They see, you know, it's dark in there, and you already know what, you're like, you're already, oh, shit, this is one of the airplanes that Don Repo's supposed to be in. It's like, mm-hmm. You see stuff in there. You see creepy stuff. So it's just more that kind of. You'd think those would be more like rough and tumble, like the airline mechanics wouldn't be the ones to be like, I saw a ghost.
Yeah.
You know? I don't think of my dad as a guy who would be like, yeah, I saw it. Or if I did see something, his science brain would kick in to mm-hmm. explain it away before entertaining that. Which I think that's just the natural defense. And like, no, I know science and I'm aware of this, so I'm going to use that to try and explain it first and foremost. Especially if you're a mechanic. You're like, well, let's test theories mm-hmm. until we figure out what's wrong.
Yeah.
You know? So, but that was, he was saying that it's all L-1011s. That type of airplane would be protected by the ghost of the engineer.
Really?
So.
It's crazy. I got several stories here. I won't do them all. Let's skim through a few more. Flight attendant Jenny Pecker was in the galley elevator. Pecker's such a
the
funny
fact
word.
That Jenny's are also, it's also short for genitals, too.
Jenny Pecker was in the galley elevator.
If you call your dick and balls your Jenny's?
No.
Rachel's been doing that. I've been my Jenny's.
My Jenny's.
Kind of nice one.
That is nice. She was in the galley elevator.
That is nice.
Oh, Jenny Pecker. She saw a small cloud of smoke. The cloud grew bigger, about the size of a basketball, and then the smoke cleared to reveal a three-dimensional image of Bob Loft. So there's a little.
I think Bob Loft was just an amateur magician. When do ghosts appear with fanfare? Like with the accoutrement of a Vegas show.
Voila.
And there were streamers. Some glitter rained down upon us.
It's like a pinata gets cracked open.
And then I saw Abraham Lincoln's ghost come through the smoke.
Here's another one. Flight attendant Sissy Patterson. She was prepping the cabin for flight 318 to fly from New Jersey to Miami. She completed her routine head count. She noticed there was one too many passengers on board. She discovered that an Eastern Airlines captain was sitting in one of the passenger seats, causing the discrepancy. She assumed he was deadheading. That's just what you guys were doing, I guess. Is that deadheading is just when employees hop a free ride?
Yeah, that's like you can – yeah.
Mm-hmm. She assumed he was deadheading. Let's see. She approached him just to confirm. When she spoke to the captain, he just stared straight ahead without responding. The real captain came back to assist her in talking to this mysterious man. When the real captain came back, he leaned in to speak to the man. He screamed, "Oh, my God, that's Bob Loft." A few seconds later, Bob Loft disappeared in front of everyone. So that's a reoccurring theme. So I guess a lot of these other pilots and employees and stuff, they're all kind of one big family. They've all done flights together. And
yeah,
so they can a lot of them identify. Oh, I know, that's old Bob.
Yeah, I've been flying up doing comedy. You can see, like, you listen to the chit chat they have. Like, where are you going? Oh, yeah, we've come out of there before, and we're going to they all have their same same routes.
Yeah, they're no pun intended. They're crosses. Never mind.
Crosses paths.
Yeah, it's early in the morning.
Imagine though, like seeing something scary on a plane. And then I think that's why it's easy for people to go nuts
mm-hmm.
on a plane when you hear people having a freak out. I think maybe it's just like heightened claustrophobia, you know,
mm-hmm.
on top of you're doing drugs or getting drunk. But then you think like, we're just in a tube.
Yeah.
especially if you don't fly all the time. Like, that should be a magical experience. Mm-hmm. Like, the idea of what you're doing mm-hmm. should still have some mystery and amazement. But for some people, it's absolute fear.
Yeah.
So I can, you know, when people are like, oh, somebody freaked out on a plane, like, yeah, I can get, like, you throw a little bit of mental illness, you throw a little bit of too many drinks or this and that, but then on top of that, the concept of this is a tiny tube
yeah.
in the sky.
There's no way out.
Yeah, yeah. You die.
Like, even if you knew how, like, even if I could fight my way to the door while it's in flight, I don't – how do you –
Oh, and the idea of people, trying to open the door.
Open the door.
Like, yeah, I think it's like this touch of mental, but like putting claustrophobia, like when you can't stop thinking about a thought all of
yeah,
a sudden.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I just
you see a ghost on there too.
Oof.
This place, like, that's why those stories about like when the like oh, not only are we in space, but we're like are the thing. I got to watch The Thing again.
Oh yeah,
I got
the original. Russell.
I got to revisit The Thing because yeah. like already being isolated,
yeah.
and then having an element that you can't explain mixed in with that isolation.
Yeah,
that's why I get freaked out when I'm camping.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Just in when you're in a tent and you hear a noise.
Oh, okay.
And especially when I've been by myself, like, oh, that could be anything.
Yeah. And there's not much I can do about it.
That's my imagination or the reality. And yeah, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, unless you got a gun.
Yeah. Here's a bear and it's going to eat me. And I, like, hear about that guy that got bit by a shark in Hawaii and it turned out he got attacked by a bear the year before, and it has also been bitten by a rattlesnake once in his life.
What? Who is yeah. he, the guy from The Great Outdoors? Got struck by lightning 72 times.
In the head. 7 times. 77 times. That fucking guy. I'm sure there's probably something wrong with how that guy was depicted nowadays. But in the head. Jesus Christ.
God, that movie was funny.
Oh.
John Candy and Dan Aykroyd together. Good John, Lord.
Give me John. How many fucking Jake Pauls have to die to get John Candy back? How many YouTube stars do I have to personally sacrifice to bring back John Candy?
God, I loved him.
Give me a number.
God. Do you have $37 and a really nice watch? I do not. I have $3 and a Casio. I want to say Seiko. Casio. And he like drapes it across his wrist.
You should see the toast. I couldn't even get it through the door.
He's eating that old 96er. And Dan Aykroyd leans down and listens to John Candy's yeah. stomach processing nicely. Hey, you think if he eats all this gristle and fat, you could throw in a couple hats for the kids?
Yeah, he's finished. There's nothing left. There's nothing left on that plate but fat and gristle. All right, you think I get a dessert in him? Throw some hats and t-shirts in for the kids? Look at the maggots on that meat.
Oh,
Boogie Monster is just us doing John Candy film footage.
Oh, he was the best. What else we got here? A flight engineer walked into the cockpit to begin his pre-flight checklist. He found another man in the in a captain's uniform sitting in the seat.
Fucking his wife.
I'll take it from here, Captain. When the flight engineer asked what the man was doing, the man responded, quote, "You don't need to worry about the pre-flight inspection. I've already done it." The flight engineer identified the man as Don Repo. Repo then disappeared into thin air. So there's just story after story of that kind of stuff.
Anybody on an airplane could disappear into thin air, technically, if they jumped out the window.
That's true.
Or the door. I thought I was going to be a smart ass, and I said window instead of door.
Speaking of the air, that's something that I think about on the airplane is just breathing that recycled air for 8 hours.
Somebody was
everybody's coughs and snots and
somebody's
colds.
Like opening the door to like a long international flight. I think the longest flight now that exists, they say, is from Perth to London, which is like 20 some hours. It's the longest commercial.
Perth is Australia.
Yeah, yeah. It's the longest commercial flight you can take. But
really, it seems like there'd be a further one.
That's direct.
Oh, that's direct. Yeah. Gotcha.
But somebody's telling like sometimes like people like gate agents will almost pass out from opening the door from one of those long flights, and it just poof.
Yeah, then,
you know, you're acclimating
you're
to it as
it.
You're sitting there, and then yeah, just opening up and boof.
Ugh. Yeah, just 22 hours of 200 people's stank.
Just, I mean, okay, I'll take my shoes up. But I see people like walking into the bathroom in their socks. I'm like, oh, man, that is piss dribble city.
Ugh.
I just.
I think that's a Smoking Pope's album.
Piss dribble city, baby. From the mean streets of piss dribble city.
Do you do this? I always feel not obligated. I want to do this whenever I'm filing out and the flight attendants and sometimes the pilot or whatever be standing there. I always look the pilot in the eye and thank him. Just, hey, thanks.
I do too.
Thanks for doing your job and not killing 200 people.
I haven't heard. I think Aparna has a joke about that too.
But really?
Yeah. And I had always made a joke about like how I – like why? Yeah. Why do I not like – throwing that guy a five.
Yeah.
You know, you tip a cab driver.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy. Hey, thanks.
Yeah. But at the very least, I can like look at him and acknowledge.
Hey, I'm alive.
Or her.
I'm alive.
You know?
Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm alive. Thank you. I didn't throw up. You know, you kept it.
There was a couple of good rattlers on. Which flight was it? I love some turbulence. I have faith in the plane. And like, I don't think. I asked my dad once. I'm like, you ever think you're going to crash once? I said, there's one time. Where he knew they were banking too hard in the plane, so it lost lift. You know, there's only so much you can turn the plane on its fucking whatever axis to where the wings aren't doing their job.
Okay.
You know, if the wings are horizontal with the ground, that's your lift.
Uh-huh. But if
they're
not.
If you tilt it too much, and then it's just cutting, it's just sliding through the air. And you remember he said he was on the plane once where he could sense the moment because he also was a pilot. He had his own plane for a while. And
so he tried to build his own plane out of a bunch of plywood.
There was some weird moment, and the fucking his midlife crisis and me. Yeah, it was just there were some strange times in the 80s and early 90s in the Canaan household. Yeah, all the wood. I told that story, right?
Yeah.
Gotta build a seaplane. What? Gotta build a trailer first to get it to the sea. You're losing your mind. But he said he could tell, like, he knows how it works, and he could tell the plane was, like, doing, like, a slip of, like, oh, and he's like, that's the one time he went white knuckles on the handrest.
Yeah.
Like, ugh.
Man, Patton Oswalt has that, I think it's Patton, has a great bit about, and he sets it up by just saying, I'm paraphrasing, not doing it justice, but he goes, I saw something the other day that I have never seen. Mm-hmm. I saw somebody use the vomit bag on an airplane.
Oh.
And he tells a story about how this like was a real prim and proper guy, was like reading a magazine, and like just out of nowhere he just pulled the bag open, unfolded it real nicely, and he does this, he said he made a noise like and then like tied it back up, put it back in the thing, and continued like just like no big deal. I need to vomit.
I feel for like all the flying I've done, I've never seen it in the last 6 months. I've seen it a few times.
Really? Seen people
people tossing.
Just puking.
Maybe it's one of those things, once you notice it, you start noticing it more.
Huh.
You
know? Yeah, I've never seen it. But then again, like, you don't know. You never know what's going on behind you.
I guess I'm more used to drunk vomit, which is uncontrollable. Look out, look out. Like, I'm not used to watching someone vomit because, like, oh, my stomach is upset.
Yeah.
And I will be needing to use.
Uh-huh.
There was some, like, she had, like, a – that's where it was. It was fucking China. And some fucking fat idiot kid. I was on the aisle seat. And this fucking doughboy was sitting next to me. And was I talking about this? About how in China they're treated like they're called the little princes? Like if a family will just have one boy. Now because of like how, you know, there was the limit, like, you could have – it wasn't like they're going to kill your kids if you have too many of them. But you could have like one kid. You could only have one kid. If you have more, you'd be like taxed wildly for having another kid. So because that was in effect for so long, now you'll have one kid that's the last bloodline of two families. So imagine having like – imagine if your grandparents only had one kid that was your mom.
Uh-huh.
And then your other side of grandparents only had one kid that was your dad. So they only have that one kid.
Yeah.
And then they got together and they had you.
Yeah.
And so you have all these – like two both sides of the family all on you.
Yeah.
You're the one product of this these two bloodlines. So you're the most spoiled kid in the world.
Yeah.
Like they were somebody else was talking about like walking by and seeing like 9 a.m, some like grandmother spoon feeding a kid ice cream, some fat little Chinese boy, because he's the spoiled little prince. Oh, and I was like, wow. Oh, that's crazy. And I don't know if that's the case with this kid sitting next to me, but just this fucking fat Chinese Augustus Galoop sitting next to me. Dumb as fuck. Like,
how old was he?
I don't know. I'm going to say maybe 10.
Okay.
I have no judge.
Old enough to where he should kind of
old
behave.
Enough to where if my headphones are plugged into the TV monitor at the mm-hmm. seat in front of me, you should know to not try and run through it like it was your chubby little marathon. I literally had to grab this kid and stop him.
Really?
Because he just starts walking through my headphones that are plugged in, and I just had to grab him and like, I don't know Chinese, and I don't know if you know English, but I'm just like, just grabbed him and said, no, you wait here. And then I unplugged and said, go ahead, you fucking fat little idiot. And watch this kid just get fucking Coke after Coke. Every time any flight attendant walked by, Coke, I want a Coke, I want a Coke. And then he barfed. I'm like, of course you did, you dumb fucking idiot. And your mom's sitting there patting you like, oh, my poor little baby. Fuck your dumb kid. And then also say like how and these are the kids that just get an entire industry handed to them. Like here's your factory now, and you don't have to do anything with the rest of your life because you're going to inherit this, you know, $500 million business because you're the one kid that gets it from this family.
Wow.
So just this spoiled rich Chinese kid. But that like seeing him. I helped him open something like a bag of snacks or something already he was fighting with. And I realized I contributed to the problem. But just watching this kid, like, I'll just walk through your headphone cord. No, stupid. What are you? You're old enough to use your eyes and have some judgment about it, the physics of the world.
You know what I don't like doing? The kid, he should come up to my level. I'm not going down to his level. Meaning, I don't partake in baby talk. Like, whenever I'm around a friend's kid, I'm just like, how you doing? So what was your name again? I just can't bring myself to, hey there, big guy, what are you doing?
I've had fun with, like, there's some kids like, oh, this is fun. Like on Easter when I tried to make my cousin's kid eat a bottle of mini ketchup for $20. And then how she fucking scammed me. First off, they're like, you should ask for more. I'm like, I'm giving this kid $20 of my money?
Yeah.
And then they gave her money to get tip the like, oh, be cute. You give her the money, the brunch
she
waitress
to
tip.
It?
She fucking slipped a 20 off of it.
Wow.
Because I kept asking, like, where'd you get $40 from? She's like, Kyle gave it to me. I'm like, I gave you 20. He stuck another 20, and I was like, oh, you're slick.
Wow.
But she's fun.
A little hooligan.
Yeah, she's fun just out being mayhem at the zoo.
Well, okay, let me amend my statement.
And I got to be in the right mood for it, too.
I will sometimes partake with, like, a friend's kid. You know what I really hate? If I'm at the store and I'm in line and there's a mom or a dad behind me or in front of me with a kid, and the kid acknowledges me, like, mm-hmm. look, Brian, he does have a beard. Yes, that's a beard. And no, yeah. I'm not. Don't suck me into your little parental experiments. No, hey, get away from me. You and your kid, get the fuck away from
me. Trying to condition.
Yeah.
You know what?
That I ain't would my love responsibility.
To see a do not pet vest on your kid.
Yeah.
Because if you got a dog, I'll pet that fucking dog.
Yeah. But I hate it when, like,
if your kid's coming around, like, sorry, you're wearing a vest.
yes, Crystal, that is. He is wearing a hoodie, you know. Yes, that is a van.
People respect the red service dog vest more.
I just hate being a part of someone's lesson.
Like, yeah, I think I can give up. I think I can give off enough of a vibe that says I'm not going to interact with your kid.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be a jerk, but I'm not.
Yeah,
gonna.
Leave me alone.
Like, isn't he the best? Like, no, he's not. He's a kid. Again, I've seen kids. I was one. You know who was the best? Me. I was the best. Your kid ain't taking that title away from me.
Oh God! All right, one more quick story. A first class passenger on flight 318.
First class.
Yeah,
he's not lying.
Noticed that the previously unoccupied seat next to her was now occupied by a man in a flight engineer's uniform. She tried to strike up a conversation with him when he suddenly disappeared. The woman freaked out, and when the plane landed, she was shown pictures of all of the Eastern Airlines present and former flight engineers. She picked Don Repo's picture as the man she saw. That's weird. Like,
we got a lineup
of pictures.
Oh, yeah. I just went crazy on a plane. Instead of somebody going, maybe she's nuts. Here, please select a series of photos.
Yeah. But, I mean, she said he was wearing an Eastern Airlines flight engineer uniform.
That's a pretty convenient bow on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, they just happen to have a bunch of headshots on hand.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's dozens of these type of stories. And I guess the reason this whole episode or this story fascinates me is, like what we were talking about at the beginning, just how do ghosts and spirits choose what their energy is attached to? Like, so you're telling me there's a fuel pump from Flight 401's repurposed, and now the ghost from Flight 401 is...
I'm the fuel pump ghost.
But, like, seriously, like, I get, like, locations, but, like... Oh, because this new plane has a repurposed part from that plane that crashed, the ghosts from that crashed plane are now going to haunt this one.
That ghost is divided up into however many pieces got split up.
Yeah.
You know, now because I'm a ghost, you know, I got killed standing next to a dandelion that blew in the wind. Now I'm a ghost that's made out of 700 dandelions.
Exactly. I guess there's no rules. There's no rules with ghost. You know, we always think of...
No, they're ghosts, man.
But I know, but like...
They're barely real if you're being honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe in ghosts, they're barely real.
But just the fact that they can attach themselves to an inanimate object.
Well, we're also overlooking the fact... Like, I know about this because they had a made-for-TV movie with it.
Yeah.
Which my dad was like, why is Ernest Borgnine coming to mind? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe you're just thinking
he was in the movie.
Okay, well, that makes sense. But also, the motherfucker, you crashed in a swamp full of alligators. They crashed in the Everglades. Oh, I can't believe we survived a plane crash. Gators! Like, bad luck.
Yeah.
For everybody on that plane.
Yeah.
That's like a double, like, where Del Don Repo's like, I gotta come back for a ghost, because this double sucks. Because not only did we let the plane crash, look where it crashed! Okay. Also, that was probably why a lot of them survived, though, is because it's crashed in a swamp.
That's true. Yeah.
So maybe God bless them. Florida Everglades.
Soften the blow.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a story. It's something out there.
Yeah. I don't know.
My big insight was my dad go, I don't know. Somebody thought they saw it once.
What's the weirdest thing that's happened in all your airline travels while on the airplane?
I thought...
You ever had an emergency landing? Like so-and-so got sick?
I never had it. Coming back from Philadelphia, they had like the, is there a doctor or anyone on board? Like they made that announcement and I saw like kind of the panicked face. But we didn't make an emergency landing. I think maybe just somebody was, you know, not feeling well.
Hmm.
But they did this. Is anybody a doctor? But then it went from a doctor to EMT, lifeguard. Like they started just going down. Anybody with anything.
CPR
please.
Certified.
seen an ambulance once. Please. But I didn't notice anything like
Notary Public.
They didn't even when we landed, there was no like get them off first or anything. I think it subsided, whatever it was. But the one time I thought I was going to die in an airplane was doing the Aspen Comedy Festival in 2007. And we'd fly to Denver and then you'd fly to Aspen. And it was in like February. It was in winter. And we're on a tiny airplane, like when you get one of them little regional prop planes that held maybe – even smaller than the regular ones, helped maybe like, I don't know, 20-some people or something. And I was sitting next to Michelle Buteau at the time, who I didn't know. None of us knew. We were all just going there. And it's small, so it's already a rougher flight. But like the turbulence and just seeing, you just see clouds and storm clouds, winter storm clouds. And this thing was shaking so much. I had never been on a flight where it was people crying, people like Michelle, like we didn't know each other. And she just like grabbed my hand. I'm like, yeah, no, I get it. And I just found songs on my iPod that I'm like,
wow,
this is calming. Like if this is the end, I'll be happy to listen to this. I still was like, planes don't crash anymore.
Yeah.
But it was the closest I've ever felt to like, this is shaking so violently. And the panic of people around me. I'm like, well, if this is it, there's nothing I can do about it here. And I've kind of always felt that way. Like, all right, if it's on a plane, it's on a plane. And I use it to reaffirm, like, have you done everything you want to do in life? Mm-hmm. Or at least trying to do so.
Yeah.
Right now. Think about it right now. What are your regrets? Can you fix that if you make it through this? And so usually I try to have like answer being like slim to no regrets, little to no regrets.
Yeah.
But Michelle was crying. She grabbed me, my hand. I was talking about this not too long ago. She's like, I remember that flight. She's like, I knew – she knew Eric Andre was on the flight. She's like, I know he's an atheist, and I saw him make the sign of the cross on that plane, and that's wow. when I got scared.
Wow.
So that was the scariest thing. It wasn't crazy or wacky or anything.
Yeah.
I never had. You know, I follow that passenger shaming account on Instagram, and it's always got the, you know, the world star type videos
yeah.
of people just – freaking out on planes.
Yeah. I was on a flight coming back from Hawaii. Mm-hmm. I think it was the trip that you and I were there. We weren't on the same plane leaving. Mm-hmm. But I went twice during that whole thing, so I can't remember which one. But one of the visits, when I was leaving, we took off. We're in the air for about 60 seconds. And then they were like, yeah, we got to – they were real vague.
Yeah.
But they were like, yeah, we got to make a landing. And turned around. And as we were landing, there were fire trucks and ambulances and shit. And one of the – something caught on fire. There was – you could see smoke like right as we were landing. Like I saw the smoke and people started freaking out. But like we were literally 10 seconds from landing again.
No, shit.
But it was like, oh, had they not caught that.
Yeah, imagine
had
that
we not turned around right then.
Imagine that happening an hour later.
Yes.
Over the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, but there was already fire trucks waiting for us to land, you know, in case – the fire got out of hand, you know, while we – I don't know. But man, that was scary.
Yeah. I try to not know as much airplane tragedies since that's my commute.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you've – I was thinking about this the other day. There's a good chance you're going to die on an airplane, and there's a good chance I'm going to die in a shitty motel.
And your girlfriend's going to stab an apple slice through your mouth.
But I always think about that, like when I'm on tour, like, you know, just constantly staying in shitty motels.
That Jason Isbell Super 8.
Oh,
I heard that for the first time. I'm like,
yeah.
Too close to home, Jason.
I don't want
to
die in a Super 8 motel.
Yeah.
Just because somebody's evening didn't go so well.
Partying with the wrong batch of people. I was talking about, I booked another show back in Des Moines, and I remember the last time I was through there, some guy who was like, showed up late to the show, was in a suit at the bar. He's like, now I was at a funeral for my friend who got murdered. I'm like, okay. And then he's drinking. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry about that. And you can tell this guy was fucking rowdy, powdered up.
Yeah.
He's like, I want to give you something. And he gives me a knife, like a pocket knife. I'm like, all right, this is nice. He's like, always good to have an extra set of prints on a knife. And I'm like, I'm going to put this in the sewer right now.
Wow.
In front of you so you know I don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
He's like, well, don't do that. And I just wiped it off and gave it back to him.
Always good to have an extra set of prints.
Like, that's like a funny joke to say, but not in the context of I'm coked up and just came from my murdered friend's funeral.
And we don't know each other.
Decided to pop by the comedy show. Anyway, yeah, I'll be at Vaudeville Muse in Des Moines, Iowa, May 31st. If you're knife guy, maybe don't come.
Want to give a quick shout-out to Refined Heretic Beard and Body Company. Listener Nick Lewis sent you and I a whole shit ton of beard products.
To take care of our beards and bodies.
Yeah, yeah. Beard and body. So, yeah, a lot of good stuff he gave us. So, like, beard balms and beard soaps and all kind of like
oil, finally. I throw the oil in there once in a while. I just cut all this off today because of that.
Yeah, I noticed it looked shorter.
I wanted to trim it because of the housekeepers.
Oh, yeah?
We didn't want to talk about that.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about that. Okay. We're in the garage today as opposed to the annex.
Yeah, because I have
a
housekeeper in my house.
A housekeeper at your house.
Rachel got a housekeeper.
Wow.
I don't know how to feel about
this. Look at you guys living the good life.
I kind of feel like a scumbag.
Hey, you picked this up.
I was like, she got home, like, can I get you some snacks? And it's like a guest.
Oh, man.
I don't know how to. All right. First, to justify it.
Is she topless?
Well, it's a waste if she is.
You know those. You know what I'm talking about, topless maids.
Oh, yeah. It's always advertised on a pink van parked by the river.
My question is: are these just hot models who are prancing around naked under the guise of cleaning your house, or is there a 54-year-old Polish woman in there with no shirt on?
I made. I do good job as maid. You want baboons? You get baboons.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I hope it's just
a regular bagel. Okay. $10 more.
I take off shirt.
I can't imagine the, what my friends did that for a bachelor party. They got like a, like a topless blackjack dealer. And they were like, it was everybody. Because it's not, my friends aren't that kind of person. Yeah. So like, all right, we'll do this for a bachelor party. And then they did it and they just felt bad.
Yeah,
like,
I would feel so weird.
We're just a bunch of guys and you're by yourself.
Yeah, you could put your shirt on.
We're not. And they're not those guys.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is what you do. And then they did it. Like, oh, why did we do this? And I wasn't there, but they said it was like, she was a very nice lady.
So what made you guys want to get a housekeeper?
Like just wash all the floors and kind of like...
Do the big work that you don't
know. It's one of those things like, all right, Rachel's works during the day and has taken like two different classes and doing stuff. I'm gone all the time. And we don't. It's all right. We both work hard at what we do.
Uh-huh.
And you're getting, you know, you're hiring somebody to do a job. You're being a job creator.
You don't have to feel weird about that.
But I've never had it before. And I even feel weird in a hotel when they come.
Oh, yeah.
Like you don't have to come in here every day.
Oh, I don't. I prefer if they don't. I don't want to sit there while she picks up a bunch of my towels.
No, I don't. Well, and also, like, change your towels every day. Like, do you know how often I change my towels?
Yeah.
And I'm going to be in a hotel. Like, please, I need a fresh one every day.
Yeah.
If it's less than 4 days, 4 or 5 days, you don't have to come in there at all.
Uh-uh.
Don't worry.
I leave that do not disturb sign on the whole time.
Put my stuff in the trash.
Yeah.
I try not to dick up the place.
Have we talked about this? Do you leave a tip when you leave a hotel room?
My thing is, like, I never have cash on me because when I leave the house for work, I put it all on a credit card for tax deductible things.
Yeah.
So like even a cup of coffee. Sorry, going on the credit card.
Yeah.
Right so off.
Keep up with it.
So I never have cash on me, and I feel like a dick at the end. If I have cash, then I leave some money.
If but I have
not,
cash,
that's not a great excuse. No.
If I've stayed multiple days and they have come in to do something, then I'll. Or if even if they haven't come in during the stay, but if I've left them a lot of work.
Yeah,
I'll leave a couple bucks if I got it. $5.
I feel bad. I should. I got to be better about that. Mm-hmm. You think about all these other things you tip on. Mm-hmm. You're the one giving the lecture about if you tip everywhere else. Tip your Lyft driver.
Yeah, yeah, definitely tip your damn Lyft driver.
But
well, anyway, so that's cool, man.
Yes, yeah, so I feel a little weird. I don't know how to.
Is she doing your laundry?
Be done? No, the dryer's broke.
Oh, okay.
It was a gas leak. So I think that's contributed to some weird feelings I've had lately. Dryer's got a gas leak. She might be passed out in her. I don't know.
Oh, God.
That's why I've been playing Far Cry for 12 hours straight. Just huffing fumes. Really getting into this first-person shooter action.
Like when Jerry was having his apartment fumigated and Kramer went in and read a manuscript for an hour and a half. And Jerry's like, what are you doing? You're not supposed to. Oh, I thought that was just a decoy in case you had a girl over. And then he loses his taste buds. He can't taste the Mackinac peaches. I'm not going to tell you the whole premise of that.
Oh, that was the peaches one.
Yeah. Okay. Mackinac peaches.
Well, what do you got? You got
we'll plug some. I don't know. This is coming out a few hours late.
Yeah, whatever.
You're listening to it today on Tuesday. I'll be at Flappers tonight in the main room with John Reap, the Hemi guy.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll be doing a set.
I feel like he's a nice guy.
He is a nice dude. I met him somewhere. He's a good dude.
Commercially associated.
Yeah. But I'm sure he didn't mind. You know, I don't want to say it boosted his career, but he didn't. You know, did he win Last Comic Standing? He either won it or got really far into Last Comic Standing, but those Hemi commercials, that was right before all that.
I think I've ever seen a Hemi
commercial. I'm sure. Oh, they were big, like, 10, 12 years ago, that thing got a Hemi.
I mean, I'm aware of the engine independently of his work for Chrysler. So good job, Dodge Chrysler.
Yeah.
Daimler Chrysler.
But yeah, that's how he was known. But yeah, I'll be at Flapper tonight. What do you got to plug?
I got nothing.
Nothing?
Up next is our run. And I put word into Mississippi Studios. So Sunday, May 13th. We're looking for a place in Portland to do a live podcast. I'm already talking to the guy at Mississippi Studios. He said the date might look tough. So if anybody's got any suggestions, you been handling the emails and everything?
I try to.
Dave tries to. But I put it out on Twitter for suggestions. It's Portland. I'm sure we'll find somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, if you you want to see us do a live podcast in Portland? Wouldn't be a stand-up show. We'd just be doing a live podcast between our dates. And
yeah.
Like I said, the shows, we'll plug those shows. Seattle Neptune Theater, I think there was like 30 tickets left.
Mm-hmm.
So you probably SOL on that one.
Bellingham, Washington on the 9th at the Underground. Let's see, we got the
Spokane Comedy Club, 10th through the 12th. Lots of tickets left for that. Get off your dicks, Spokane. Yeah.
And then the 14th will be in Arcata, California.
Those potheads, they don't buy stuff early.
Yeah. Shout out to the Savage Henry crew. That's going to be a fun show.
Looking forward to a lot of May 15th. Oh, you dudes were in town?
I am staying an extra day in Arcata to go squatching or something.
I got to be back on the road in a couple days after that, so I'm coming home.
Anybody wants to hang out in Arcata? Oh, let me give a shout out to my new friend TJ Partridge, big listener to the Boogie Monster. Just out of the blue, just said, hey, I'm going to be in town. You want to go eat Hal and Ray's together? And me being a man of the people, I was like, hell yeah, dude.
I see TJ comments and all this stuff out there.
So nice to meet him and his friend. So anybody coming to town and want to take me out to lunch, I'm not too pretentious for that shit. So just say when and where.
Don't ask Dave to get drinks with you at the Eagle.
Yeah.
But if you want to get a chicken sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah. My apologies to the, I got a couple of gay friends, which, stalkers maybe, which, hey, I'm
called them friends first.
Yeah. I'm gay friendly. But I had to tell this one guy, he's like, hey man, nothing personal, but I'm not gay. And nothing's gonna come of this. So sorry. Yeah. Like, I shouldn't have to be guilted into feeling bad because I'm not gay. But want to be gay all you want, and I support you.
It's the same feeling that women have to go through.
That's
with
true.
Dudes hitting on them when you got to be like, all right, here I'm drawing a line.
Yeah.
It's not, hey, pals, that's it, and then okay.
Yeah. It's not because you're gay. It's because I'm not gay.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah. That's what
I'm the problem.
Yeah. This won't work out. I'm the problem.
Oh man! Well,
got any recipes or just
no?
Well, you already kind of just said make a sandwich with waffles.
Yeah, make a sandwich.
That's my recipe.
My recipe today is Eggo buttermilk waffles and Farmer John breakfast sausage links. Put that shit together.
I hate it when you go to a restaurant and you're like, "Oh, it's a pancake sandwich," and then it's not. It never comes where you can just hold the pancakes in your hands, like bread,
like a McGriddle.
Why do they call it pancake sandwich?
I don't know.
Dumb old restaurants.
Yeah, that's how they get you.
That's how they get you.
All right, then. Well, we'll see you next week. It's the Boogie Monster, Kyle and Dave, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. Hello and goodbye.
The Boogie Monster.